there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
56% of job seekers say the biggest challenge is finding a job that matches their qualifications. This according to an Express Employment Professionals Harris Poll survey. The job search can be lonely, but Express Employment Professionals can be your one connection to finding that job that fits you. Each year, hundreds of thousands of people find work through their local Express office. Find the location nearest you at expresspros.com. No fees for somebody seeking a job. Visit expresspros.com.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Did we decide on a poll question, Seton, before I get to Pat 40?
Yeah, Dan, we've decided to go with college football is currently moving in a good direction or terrible direction.
And with that, we bring in Pat 40, senior writer from Sports Illustrated. We'll start you with the heavy question there. We headed in a good direction or a bad direction?
Oh, put me down as terrible. I think this is really catastrophically bad, short-sighted, greedy, ultimately disastrous, but that's kind of par for the course we've been on for a while.
Okay, how does this affect the fan?
Well, if you're a fan of, say, West Coast football, if you live in California, Oregon, or Washington, congratulations. Enjoy your easy commutes to see your team play in College Park, Maryland, State College, Pennsylvania, Piscataway, New Jersey. Cherish those long-held rivalries there. You don't get to play Oregon State or Washington State anymore. You don't get to play Cal or Stanford if you're USC or UCLA. But you do get to play Iowa and Illinois and Nebraska. That's what you've always wanted, right? So you get that for the fans. You're going to probably pay more for tickets. It's just all around. It's just your team's going to win less as well. There's that. So it's all good.
I guess tell me if you buy into this. It feels like the schools in the Pac-12 are waiting for other schools to make an announcement. So you're not the bad guy who took down the Pac. If you're the Arizona schools, you want to join the Big 12. But you don't want to leave until Oregon and Washington go to the Big 10. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an element of that. Although we might have pushed past that now to the point of like, oh, who cares? It's all going to collapse. Does it really matter who goes first?
Okay.
I think there's a reason the Arizona Board of Regents are meeting at 6:30 Pacific today. That's late. That gives Oregon and Washington plenty of time to pull the ripcord in case they want to beat them to it and go to the Pac-10 or the Big 10. So I think nobody wants that blood on their hands, but there's going to be so much blood in the end that it's not really going to – the crime scene is going to be so – riddled with handprints, who's going to know who's were first?
But are we looking at a Big Ten East and a Big Ten West?
It's entirely possible. You know, we'll see how they're going to work this out. They're obviously, if Oregon and Washington do go, then you've got four out far west. You know, maybe you're looking at more of a pod sort of system as opposed to just two divisions. Mm. The funny thing is, everybody had just gotten rid of divisions. Everybody was just, we don't like division. We don't want them. They don't help us with our championship game. They're going to have to go back to some sort of regional delineation. It doesn't make sense. And good luck trying to schedule 18 teams. We're going to be playing games all over the map.
Also, now we're hearing Florida State, which I think Florida State has always viewed themselves as bigger and better than the ACC. Clemson views himself probably bigger and better than the ACC. But I don't know how they can get out of their TV deals if they want to go into the SEC or whatever their strategy is going to be. So what do you see with Clemson and Florida State?
Yeah, that's the big sticking point there. I mean, Florida State all but seceded from the union yesterday. I mean, the president, the trustees, like, we're out. We don't like it here. We're leaving. Well, where are you going? Where are you going? I don't see the SEC jumping up and down saying, yeah, we'll help you break a 12-year grant of rights, 13 years still right now, and get in the middle of that ridiculous legal battle and then bring you in over Florida's dead body. I mean, there's some issues there. The Big Ten's going to go to 18. I don't see them, you know, bending over backwards to try to help Florida State in this situation. So I don't know whether that was just a temper tantrum they felt like they needed to have, or that's negotiating for an even higher cut of the revenue or what. But they say that they can handle or figure out a way out of the grant of rights. Let's see it.
Pat Forty, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. That brings us to Notre Dame. Give me the scenario where Notre Dame would be, I don't want to say forced to join the Big Ten, but encouraged to join the Big Ten.
Well, they're constantly encouraged. I mean, like, the Big Ten is, you know, kind of just extended the open invitation. There's a candle in the window lit for Notre Dame at all times. But I don't think any of this would necessarily force their hand. Now, we'll see. They've still got their own negotiations to do and come up with their own media rights. But everything, every sense I have gotten from Notre Dame is that they feel like they're going to end up in a good place. And be able to remain independent. Now, if literally the rest of the map falls apart, if the ACC in particular falls apart in short order, that Notre Dame has enough ties there that that could get problematic for them and push them towards the Big Ten. But for now, I still think Notre Dame wants to and can stay put as an independent.
But what if you have, and I don't know how many years down the road, but let's say we have the top 50 schools, the revenue schools for football, and they decide that, okay, we're going to have, you know, the NFL model. And Notre Dame can't play those teams. Now you're saying to Notre Dame, you know, this schedule is against these teams who are in our conference, in our league. And Notre Dame would be playing Air Force and Army and who else? BC and they'd run out of these quality opponents that we've, you know, grown to love, that there's rivalries here.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dan, that is the doomsday scenario for them. And now it would take a lot to get to that point. The Big Ten would have to kick members out. The SEC would have to kick members out. And if you talk to them now, I mean, look, everything ends up being negotiable, right? I mean, nobody would have ever thought that USC and UCLA would end up in the Big Ten. So everything can happen. But you talk to those people in those conferences, they're like, man, we do not want to be the people that tell Purdue you have to leave, you know, or tell Mississippi you have to leave. So that is down the road a ways. If it does come to that, yes, Notre Dame's out of real estate. They have been painted into a corner and they would have to go. But who knows when that would be.
If I gave you Caleb Williams or the field for the Heisman.
Boy, it's tough to repeat. It's once, so I'm gonna take the field just on the odds that it's very tough to do. Now, I do think he's the best player, and I think he's fantastic. I think he's gonna be the number one draft pick. But just on the fact that Archie Griffin stands alone as the only person to ever do it in Heisman history, I'll take the field.
The most famous player in college football is not even going to start this year for Texas with Arch Manning. You know, Quinn Ewers, who is listed as one of the top five Heisman candidates. And Arch is just going to – was this the game plan? Did Texas know that Quinn Ewers was going to be their starter? And did Arch know that he wasn't going to start going in his first year?
I mean, I think they went into the arrangement when he showed up on campus in January with a fairly good understanding. Quinn Ewers was the guy, and he would have to be very good to beat him out. And I think Arch's family was just like, fine, we are not in a rush here. If he needs to redshirt, let him redshirt. You know, this is not – the Mannings are not going into this saying, we need this, this, and this right away. They're like, no. I mean, Cooper, his dad, is, I think, almost relieved that he can start his college career without being immediately thrust into that spotlight.
If we speak in 2 weeks, what do you think we're talking about?
We're talking about an 18-team Big Ten. We are talking about a non-existent Pac-12. Talking about a 16-team Big 12, and almost none of that's actually going to matter because Georgia's probably going to win the national championship.
When did it change, Pat? When did college football get to, and I don't know when, but I did have a coach say, if we knew as the SEC schools were interested in somebody, we backed away. When Missouri and A&M went to the SEC, that was 12 years ago, I believe. So I don't know when all of a sudden it started to change where things were reshaped.
You know, I mean, it's funny. You can go back and find realignment, spasms, and changes going back to the 30s, probably even before that. So, I mean, it's happened periodically throughout time. But 1984, the NCAA loses its contract monopoly on TV. And all of a sudden, everybody can get a TV contract, all the conferences. And then that really started to change the economics of everything, and it started to change the allegiances to a degree. And then, obviously, okay, the SEC went to 12, added South Carolina and Arkansas, added a championship game. Then, whoa, everybody wants a championship game. So that happened. And then I think the big, really big catalyst, Dan, was 2009, 10, 11 in there when the Big 12 got raided and the Big East was poached to death. And when it suddenly made sense to people for West Virginia to be in the same conference with Texas Tech, that's when it's like, okay, it just doesn't matter. Geography doesn't matter. Nothing matters but how we can make the most TV money.
Good to talk to you. Stay busy.
No problem. No danger of that. Thank you.
Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated senior writer. Yeah, I don't want to be the sky is falling, but I do want to give you a heads up. The sky is moving. Maybe not falling, but man, it looks ominous. It just does. This is the reality. And I grew up with rivalries, with conferences, and you stayed in your conference. You played against teams in your conference. It was that conference against that conference. I mean, that's gone. The lines are being blurred, and I do think that you'll see a scenario where maybe it's Oregon and Washington. They will join the Big Ten, and then it'll be the Arizona schools going to the Big 12. But then there's going to be other schools, and then can the Pac-12 cobble together some schools? You know, can you get San Diego State? Can you get SMU? What do Stanford? What do Cal do? You know, that's, you know, what's Oregon State, what's Washington State going to do? Do they join the Pac-12? Do they do the Mountain West? I mean, it's going to happen. The fact that Florida State yesterday said, we're basically out of the ACC. We're in it, but we want to be out of the, you know, the ACC business. And Clemson would probably do the same thing if they could. Yeah, Paulie.
I wonder if the Big Ten could kind of save this whole thing by absorbing four or five Pac-12 teams and making it, like you said, split it. And you, with the West teams, you call them the West, Nebraska is now out there, and Minnesota's out there, and Iowa's out there. So you balance the league, so it's like Midwest and West Coast, and then, you know, you still got Rutgers and Maryland, but somehow the Big Ten bolsters itself but helps the Pac-12, even though it's got a different name.
Yeah, but the Pac-12's going to die.
As a name. But their teams and their fans still get good football coming out there. You send Wisconsin out to play. You send, you know,
I don't know if they care about that, though. Hey, Wisconsin's coming to town. Hey, kids, we're going to go see Iowa. Iowa's playing Oregon State. Come on, who's with me? You're just not. You're going to cherry pick the best programs, and then all of a sudden you're going to leave these other schools to fend for themselves. But that's what college football has become. Hey, survival of the fittest. It's happening. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Update the poll results, Seton, before we get to the popular Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football.
Yeah, Dad, we have up there, college football is currently moving in a good direction or terrible direction. Right now, 78% of the audience say it's a terrible direction.
Yes. You can check out Peter Schrager's podcast, The Season with Peter Schrager, wherever you get your podcast. Peter spent last weekend with Aaron Rodgers following practice, and he joins us on the program. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. I did spend some time with Rodgers, and I feel like we can do a deep dive on that, Dan. It was quite a day.
Okay. What were you expecting, and then what was the end result?
Yeah, you've been in this seat before countless times, where you've got the agreed-upon sit-down interview ahead of time, and you start formulating the questions. This wasn't that. I didn't know if Rodgers was going to sit with me or not. The hope was I would go to Jets camp, and we would link up beforehand, and he and I would make eye contact, and he would do me a solid and do this interview for NFL Plus and NFL Network. Practice was great. It was awesome. It's on the heels of the Sean Payton quotes, but it's also on the heels of him giving back the $35 million. So there's things to talk about. As he's walking off set or walking off the field after a great practice, we give that look, and I kind of have the two chairs and one, two microphones, and I'm like waving him over, and he's nodding. And the Jets have a great PR guy, Eric Gelfand, and he's looking at me, and he's giving me a thumbs up, like, you're good to go. And out of nowhere, and I'm going to watch tonight and see if he's got 6 hours of content. Jason Garrett, the former Cowboys coach and former Giants offensive coordinator and Giants quarterback, and Cowboys quarterback, appears. I mean, he could have been appearing from Mars. He appears and walks right in front and starts talking to Rodgers off camera, off mic, and it's 5 minutes, and it's 10 minutes, and it's 15 minutes. And I know these quarterbacks. Every minute is scheduled in their day. It's like, if I'm going to do an interview, I got to get my massage. I got to work out. I've got to do this meeting. And Garrett, I mean, Garrett, I like his work on NBC. I hope tonight they have a four-hour special with Jason Garrett about what the heck he talked about with Aaron Rodgers off camera, because this thing almost didn't happen. So they finish up. They dap it up. Total respect. Obviously, they had battles, and I'm half kidding here. I'm sure Garrett's going to be great with whatever he relays from that conversation. Then Tim Boyle, who's the second, third, maybe fourth-string quarterback for the Jets, was with Rodgers in Green Bay. He slides in. His whole family's there, including grandma. And they need to meet Rodgers. And Aaron is gracious with his time. So I'm looking at my producer, Christine Martin. I'm looking at her. I'm like, you know what? It might not happen. Hopefully we'll get Sala or Sauce or someone else. But the entire rest of the field has cleared out by this point. It's just Rodgers and the Boyle family. And I'm like, this is, we got to get this. Rodgers finishes up, looks at me, smiles. He actually apologized. Like, I'm sorry about all that. I'm like, dude, you're Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to give me the time, we're good. We went 15 minutes and I started off and, you know, you do these interviews and you get guys to talk. I'd like to say this was, I was channeling some of your craftsmanship with this. It's like, we didn't start off with, so what did Sean Payton, you know, what do you think of Sean Payton's comments? What we started off with was, have you seen Oppenheimer? You know, what is going on in New York City? What have you done that's been cool? It's like, I saw the Back to the Future musical, which was in pre-show. Like, we did that. Then we eased into what's it like with these guys. And then I didn't say, what's your reaction to Sean Payton? I said, we know what Sean Payton has said. We also know you are Nathaniel Hackett's biggest supporter. Why don't you let the viewers know about your thoughts on Hackett? And then he went on, wow, he's a family man and, you know, all that stuff. He's a great coach. And then it's like, all right, he got him going. And he's like, you know what? Hell, I'm going to stick up for my guy. And that's when he said, keep my coaches out of your mouth. And that was the quote of the weekend. And we had more of an interview after that. But after the fact, I was like, all right, Roger said, thank you. We don't text. I don't have a relationship with Rogers like that. We've always been respectful, whatever. But that's how it came to be. And he couldn't have been more gracious with his time. And I think if it wasn't me, it would have been at the podium and it would have been with you or it would have been with anyone else. But I just happened to get him at the right place, right time. And he wanted to get that message out there.
He has said that he is planning on playing a few more years. And then we discussed, what does a few mean? Few is more than two. And then I asked Peter King, I said, I'll give you the over under 2.5 years. He took the over. What's your thought on Aaron Rodgers in New York? Over under 2.5.
I would take the over as well.
Oh.
I think he's really happy. And I think that's so trite. Like, Russell Wilson was really happy in Denver at this time last year. Like, I know he's really happy. And Stafford was the same way. And Brady was the same way. You get to these new locations and it's this new chapter in your life. But I think he's really connected with these folks. And it's not just, hey, new coach. Hackett's his boy. Like, when they went out to Malibu, the Jets, for that, you know, the entire front office and the coach, he and Hackett were like the connection. And then Hackett and Saleh and the president and the owners, that was all good. But like, it was Hackett and Rodgers. And, you know, you bring in Lazard, you bring in Billy Turner, you bring in Randall Cobb. The Jets have gone above and beyond to bring in his people. He's going to be running his offense. And I think he's really digging living in the New York market. So I'm going to say over, giving back that money almost guarantees 2 years. And I think if he's having fun, he's in great physical shape. And I don't think he needs in a rush to do anything else. I think the over on that one.
Can they match the hype this year?
It's hard. It's really hard. And the NFL did them no favors. You know, I work on the NFL Network. We do Good Morning Football. And, you know, we start every A block with Jets talk. And I think a lot of the viewers are now chiming in like, is this the new Cowboys? What are we doing here? Like, we're talking about a team that lost their last 6 games last year. They're getting hard knocks, so there's going to be a lot of that. They're in the Hall of Fame game tonight. They're in an inter-squad practice with Carolina, which is going to get a lot of press because they're on the road as a team, and we always talk about that stuff. And they have 5 primetime games. Can they match the hype? They think they can. And, you know, I haven't made my predictions yet, but they looked darn good when I was at practice on Sunday. And like I said, it's not Brady going in and meeting Bruce Arians for the first time and then having to build an offense. He's picking up the offense that he ran when he had 2 MVP awards in Green Bay.
But I still look at this division, Peter, and I think you have to win the division, and that's the only team that's going to make the playoffs out of the AFC East.
Is that right?
Because look how tough the division is, and then you're going to play AFC West and the NFC East. That's tough.
I know.
I mean, 11 wins might be enough to win that division, it feels like. And who do you like more, the Jets or the Bills right now?
Yeah, right now I'd say the Buffalo Bills, and they've earned that. And I think last year the Buffalo Bills, if you know, you had an energy bar, it was at the very end, at the end of that season when they lost Cincinnati. They had nothing left, just mentally, emotionally, physically, after what they'd been through that season. And this year they're laying under the radar quite a bit. But like, I'd go the Bills, but not by a huge margin. And I don't think the Dolphins or the Patriots are necessarily above the Jets right now. So they're second in my book, and I don't think they're that far off from first. So it's a possibility. We did this exercise on Good Morning Football, and I think it'd be fun for you and the guys. Like, you know, everyone says this team's playoff bound. The AFC this year, try picking 7 teams. You're leaving off 5 really good quarterbacks if you do it. The AFC is loaded.
I know.
So if you're going with multiple teams, you're probably saying Herbert might not be going, or Jimmy Garoppolo is not going, or you're not getting a third team out of the AFC North. You're only getting two. So I hear what you're saying, but I think the Jets and the Bills are both playoff teams this year.
Peter Schrager, NFL Network, Good Morning Football co-host. We've talked about this with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if the networks can say we don't want them in prime time. No. And if we do, we don't want to be showcasing Deshaun Watson. I don't know if anybody's done this. They are a good team. I don't know if they, you know, their potential for a great team or a playoff team, but they're a good team. But I wonder about that. Could have, like NBC say, we don't want the Browns on Sunday Night Football. Could they do that?
I think the networks put in their choices that they do want and their preferences, and they've got many meetings with the league before the schedule is made. I doubt any of them were like banging down the door saying, give us the Browns.
But they didn't even have Deshaun Watson on the promo tonight on NBC.
I know. It's Myles Garrett. We did it today on our show. It's Myles Garrett's face and Nick Chubb's face.
Yeah.
It's delicate, right? I think if we're being honest, it's a delicate situation on how to handle it. Last year, we did it on eggshells on our show because he comes back into the, you know, and I say fortunately, but like, what if he was outstanding and took his team to the playoffs, went to the Super Bowl? It's hard not to shed, you know, praise on it. And then you've got this stuff off the field. So I think this year, after a full off season, and Watson has spoken to reporters, and you know, I think they're going to be on tonight, and he's not going to play. It's going to be Kellen Mond and the young rookie from UCLA. So I don't know how much conversation they have on Deshaun Watson, but it'll be interesting to see if the Browns are good this year and how much real estate they still get on these shows, because it's, quite frankly, it's always going to be a difficult conversation talking about the Deshaun Watson stuff when you're saying, well, strictly on the field, when half the audience is like, yeah, but you guys are purposely not addressing the off the field. It's very uncomfortable.
Why is everybody loading up on the Justin Fields MVP bandwagon? Because if you're saying he's going to be the MVP, then you're saying the Bears are going to make the playoffs. Because if they don't make the playoffs, he's not going to be an MVP candidate.
A lot of hype and a lot of buzz on the Bears. And I think there's optimism because they finally have a receiver. And I don't know if you consider DJ Moore, Calvin Johnson, or Randy Moss, or Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase, but he is a...
For the Bears, he is.
He is a 1,000-yard, year-in, year-out receiver, and their connection has been really good this summer. But to your point, the Bears lost their last 10 games of the season last year. David Montgomery was their bell cow. He's not there. They have a bunch of question marks at running back. And I know it's cool to say, well, yeah, but DJ Moore and Mooney and Tunyon and Komet, like, I got to wait and see before we crown the Bears and Justin Fields. He's got a lot of fans around the league, and apparently his throwing motion has changed a bit, and he's worked on it this summer. I think it's fair to say, I know he's a great athletic quarterback. I'd like to see him win some games with his arm, and I'd like to see the Bears win some games in September and October before we start talking MVP talk.
Yeah, you know, I don't want him rushing for 1,100 yards. If you said Justin Fields ran for 1,100 yards, I'd go, and the Bears won five games?
Not what they want either.
I like the element of being able to run. I think you have to be able to run now. I think, you know, 90% of your quarterbacks have that ability to be able to run. But I don't want them to be – I don't want a run-first quarterback. Even Lamar Jackson. I mean, what did they do? They went out and got a new offensive coordinator and a bunch of wide receivers for him.
Yep.
And so they've changed their philosophy a little bit.
Yeah, and the thing with Fields, it's like, you know, on a best case scenario, it's, and they're not similar players necessarily, but like Jalen Hurts in year three was like, all right, it's all coming together. But Jalen Hurts has maybe the best offensive line in football. He's got A.J. Brown. He's got Devontae Smith. He's got this amazing defense. Like, the Bears are a rebuilding team. So I'm just saying, be patient. I think they'll be better than they were last year. I don't think they're the worst team in the league by any means. But I'm going to wait and see before we put him in the same conversation as some of his contemporaries who have actually done it on the field already.
All right, before I let you go, Arizona with Kyler Murray. Arizona's got two first-round picks, and they're going to be bad. If they're so bad that they get the number one overall pick, what do the Arizona Cardinals do?
Oof. They've got to consider it. I mean, this kid out of USC, and the ironic part is, you know, who's going to be in his ear all season is going to be Cliff Kingsbury, who's working with Lincoln Riley. And he's already, I talked to Cliff, he's already working with this Caleb, and he's like, this kid is unbelievable and a great young man. And all of a sudden he's raving about it. And I'm like, I think whoever gets the number one overall pick is going to get a Heisman Trophy winner from last year and maybe a Heisman Trophy winner from this year, who is being compared to Mahomes. He's that good. Yeah. You have to think long and hard if you're looking at Kyler Murray and you're saying, well, we're now in year number this. We were the worst team in football. This, like, you'd have to think long and hard about it because I don't think Caleb Wilson comes along all that often.
Yeah, you got Zach Wilson on your mind.
I'm the same guy that would like make fun of someone who does that, so I got to call myself out on that.
Yeah,
I got the Heisman Trophy winner's last name wrong. My bad.
You got to take Caleb Williams. You do.
I think you do.
And if you do. But you got to be able to get out from underneath Kyler Murray's contract.
You deal with that. The quarterback's what matters. You figure it out. And you know, from all things I hear, also from Arizona, and again, it's everyone's Pollyanna now. Like, Kyler's been great this summer.
Of course, he has.
I know he can't play right away, but like, you know, it's August. Kyler's great. Yeah.
He's always great during the summer.
Yeah.
And then things start to emerge where they go, oh, he doesn't like to study. He loves video games. You know, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I want a new contract. All of those things. Yeah. Not good. But you are.
Thanks.
I've enjoyed the re-air of Good Morning Football because you're on opposite us. So I get to see the re-air of Good Morning Football and hope you're having fun.
I love you guys. You know, I always listen and tune in, and I appreciate you having me on. It's always so cool for me.
You didn't have to do the mutual admiration. You could
I thought
have
it was fine.
You could have led with that.
I ended it.
You could have led with that and said, hey, before we go, man, I love your show. I do. And when you walk away in 4.5 years, I'll probably, have a moment of silence.
My contracts aren't in the news, Dan. Yours are. I appreciate that, man. That is good.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Schrager, he's a co-host and NFL Network Good Morning Football. It's like Fritzy. I always have to say,
I knew you were going to do this.
But doesn't it happen?
You're right. I should initiate more like, hey, good job with the show or the interview you did or whatever.
I walk by you at the end of the show and I'll go, hey, great job today.
And then I feel compelled to say you too.
And then you go, hey, you too.
Which means nothing to you because I'm just saying back to you what you just said.
Yes.
Because I didn't say it first.
I mean, I don't need it, but then I want it.
You definitely don't need it. I need it badly. So at least you acknowledge that much, that you should need to say, hey, good job with getting so-and-so on or whatever.
When you have a good day, I'm going to do it, okay?
But I have to make more of an effort to get to you before you get to me. Because, again, it's meaningless if I'm just reiterating what you said.
Have a good day, then I'm going to say
it could take a while.
Good show.
Just
exactly.
Be patient with me.
All right. There you go. You missed that one. You missed that one.
Yeah, I did.
How about we take a break?
Bloop, bloop.
All right. Yeah. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
I've been saying this over the last 48 hours, and I'm not a sky's falling guy, but, you know, we're on the verge of something changing college football. And I don't know how much, but it feels like it's going to be reshaped here, or at least we're on the verge of this. And John Canzano, great columnist, johncanzano.com, radio host on 750 AM in Portland, and certainly covering the Pac-12. And I wanted to have you on because I don't know if you feel this same way, John, but it feels like the Pac-12 is in peril. And the question is, what can you do? So where do we stand now? 11:30 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, last night, I think everybody was sending out the Amber Alert and really looking at the Arizona schools, Arizona State. Anytime the regents meet, there's buzzing in the Pac-12 footprint. And They're going to meet later today, tonight, early this evening. And I think a lot of people last night expected that Arizona and Arizona State would leave the conference. I reached out to a member of the Pac-12 CEO group this morning who told me that there was some enthusiasm internally with the Pac-12. Now, I'm pumping the brakes. I'm rolling my eyes a little bit because I've heard this all throughout this negotiation. But what I was told is that the Arizona schools are really looking hard at the University of Oregon today. Oregon is expected to get a reduced share invitation to the Big Ten conference, could come as soon as this morning, midday today. We know that the Big Ten has opened that conversation internally, and I think there's a lot of eyes on Oregon. Oregon appears to be the glue right now in the conference because the Arizona schools are saying that if Oregon chooses to stay in the Pac-12, there might be something there for the Arizona schools. That media deal that George Kliavkov finally presented earlier this week, I think was underwhelming to a lot of people from a financial standpoint. It appears that there seems to be now maybe an added layer to this. I don't know. I don't know if more money came in. I don't know if a new partner came in. But, I was told that a big part of this now hinges on the University of Oregon.
And, you know, Phil Knight has his money behind, you know, the Oregon program. I don't know how much of an enticement the Big Ten saying, hey, come over here, you can make this amount of money. Plus, if you're Oregon, don't you look at this and say this opens the door with UCLA or certainly USC out the door that we can qualify right now for the national championship. We can win the Pac-12. No matter who's still left, this is an easier path than if we go to Big Ten.
Yeah, Oregon is such an interesting figure here because they're not like others. They're not like the other Pac-12 schools. They're not like a lot of the universities nationally. They have thrived at a time when the other Pac-12 schools were underfunded, because of Phil and Penny Knight. You know, I reached out to Phil Knight earlier this week, and the response I got back is that he wasn't ready to talk because he was going to say something he might regret. You know, and I was like, that's the ideal time.
Exactly.
To talk,
but
But you're right. You're absolutely right. Rob Mullins, the athletic director at Oregon, he told me multiple times, just a week ago, told me that access to the playoff is what matters to the Ducks. And now the University of Washington looks over at Oregon. They want to be alongside Oregon. And if Arizona and Arizona State do, if they're being real about wanting to be in this conference, and I think the decision really comes down to the next 24 to 36 hours with the Oregon Ducks, will they decide that they're better off not competing against Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and everybody in USC and UCLA and the Big Ten and having an easier path to the playoff? Or will they take, you know, what everyone thinks is the future of college football and jump to a conference of 18 or 20?
How'd the Pac-12 get here?
Let's go back. I mean, 10, 12 years, Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, he did some good things early, but his media deal was outdated. They never should have been a media company. They tried to own and operate the Pac-12 networks. They should have had a media partner. We all know now that television is running the show in college football. It's really unfortunate to see what TV has done to tradition and kickoff times and rivalries and the bifurcation of all the conferences. The Fox can say all they want that you know, hey, we're not behind all of this, but the money is there, and we all know what's driving all of the expansion and the realignment. But I think the Pac-12 made some terrible miscues in the Larry Scott era. I think George Kiafkoff came through the door. He should have been more tuned in to UCLA and USC being unhappy. That should have been job one. Even if they're telling you to your face, hey, we're happy, we're good here. He should have been camping in the front yard at USC and making sure of it. And then, you know, I think the media landscape has shifted. We've all seen the layoffs, and we've seen that industry hit hard. And I think it's a terrible time to be negotiating. I think it's really unfortunate for the Pac-12 and Pac-12 fans, more importantly.
Yeah, I thought Arizona State are waiting for somebody else, some other school to secede from the union. Then they can go to the Big 12. So if Washington and Oregon said, you know, we're going to the Big 10, then Arizona State would go, well, we're going to the Big 12. But I'm also wondering, who do they add? Because I was told all along San Diego State was joining us. You know, they were joining the Pac-12. I was told, you know, Boise, sort of a novelty, that wouldn't happen. SMU was, you know, a possibility. So can the Big 12, if they lose schools, reshape and still be the Pac-12?
Yeah, the easiest thing today would be, hey, they hold at 9, they add San Diego State. You know, I did inquire, how would the $34 million exit fee at the Mountain West Conference work? I was told that there's some financial flexibility that the Pac-12 would offer there. Maybe they subsidize it. Maybe, San Diego State takes a lower distribution as they enter the conference. I was also told from a Mountain West Conference president that the Mountain West might be willing to negotiate that. Nobody wants to end up in litigation over these things. They're all negotiable, even though $34 million is the number. That's your starting point. I think you could get there. But, the easiest answer is stay at 9, add San Diego State. But it becomes critical today. If you lose Oregon, you're going to lose Washington, and you're going to lose the Arizona schools. And you have to be able to trust each other at a time when nobody can trust each other. Dan, they're all pirates. They're all pirates, and they're playing chess, unfortunately.
Great to talk to you as always, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's John Canzano, columnist and radio host at 7:50 a.m. in Portland. Brent in Alabama. The fact that there are meetings going on tonight at 6 Pacific, there's some serious conversations going on here. Hey, Brent.
Hey, guys. Love the show. College football, lots changing. I'm trying to see where all this is going because, you know, a lot of people are saying the sky is falling, but the biggest thing to me, if you follow the money, is, first of all, you got to start back with the playoff. In order to compete for the championship, you couldn't lose more than one or two games a year, right? So what would happen was big schools, the big brands, would schedule Roast Beef Tech two or three times a year to give them essentially a bye week or something like that. It was a good move for the big schools because they got a little bit of a rest before they play a big rivalry game. And the small schools got a big payday. They got to bankroll not just their football program, but they got to bankroll their entire athletic program. Well, now that we're in a 12-team playoff, and as this consolidation continues, the pressure, there's not going to be as much pressure for these teams to only lose zero or one or two games. They can lose two or three games and still compete for a national championship and a big bowl game. So what happens to Roast Beef Tech and all of these other smaller schools? Because if I follow the money, if I'm Alabama, why would I play Roast Beef Tech two or three times a year instead of all conference games, which is something that even Nick Saban has said, I want to play all conference games, but they just know it's been impossible in the past. So you lose that money, Roast Beef Tech, all of these small schools are going to, I mean, what happens to them? I'd love to get your feedback on that, because I don't see how any of these smaller tiered programs can survive without that money.
Yeah, and I don't think these other schools really care about that. It's survival of the fittest right now. And you did have these schools that did get this opportunity to be sacrificial lambs, or as you called them, Roast Beef Tech. But, you know, Georgia wants to have that tune-up game or a couple of tune-up games or, you know, a game after a tough game before they have another tough game. I just think we're headed towards maybe the top 50 revenue-producing football programs getting together, and then they just schedule each other. You have certain divisions, and certain divisions each year will play a different division around the country, and then you'll have X number of teams qualifying for the playoffs just like you do the NFL. You're going to pay the players. You know, maybe they unionize. I mean, you can't say, well, that can't happen, because it can happen. Everything. Look at college football. If I would have said 10 years ago this is going to happen, name, image, and likeness, you'd be like, there is no way. Yeah, now there's name, image, and likeness. And doesn't, you know, it's there for the foreseeable future. Do you make them salaried employees? Like, you can't say it can't happen with college football, because I can't trust the people who are involved with college football. Everybody wants theirs. Are they thinking about the greater good? No, they're not. Tim in Boca. Hi, Tim. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Dan?
Hey, man.
I'd just like to, I'm just making a prediction here because I see it coming. I drive Uber, and not too long ago I dropped off a real estate agent up in Jupiter. And he said he's meeting a famous person that's buying a house. Come to find out, it's Nick Saban. I'm predicting Nick Saban will retire within 2 years. You don't buy a house in Jupiter and keep working if you've ever been to Jupiter, Florida.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Would I be surprised that Nick Saban retires before I do? Yeah, he'd like to steal a little bit of the shine. He's 71. I get it. Yeah, here's another thing. I would love to know what USC was promised by the Big Ten. And follow me on this. Hey, we'll join. We don't want these schools from the Pac-12 to join. We want to own Southern California. We want assurances here. And I'm wondering, the only other school you're worried about, if I'm USC, is Oregon. Was there any, handshake, wink, wink, assurances that, and you have a new Big Ten commissioner, so I don't know if it would be still there, part of the agreement. And maybe I'm just speculating on this, but if I'm USC, do I want assurances you're not taking other Pac-12 teams that I can recruit here for the Big Ten and not have to share everybody, with the Pac-12? Yeah, everything's on the table. And the number of people I've heard from who are in college football or they follow college football, like everybody has some kind of theory, speculation, rumor, innuendo with this. It's wild. But Oregon could change college football today or tomorrow or over the weekend. If they stay or if they go, who stays? Who goes? Oregon could change college football. It's that fluid with what's going on. Wild.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.